I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Scripture reading this morning is from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, for whoever would approach Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. And may the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His Word.
Jim, thank you for that reading. What I want to talk to you about today is what can we do for God? Have you ever received a gift from somebody that was way more than what you expected? And didn't you want to do something special for that person in return? In the same way, when we consider what Christ did for us on the cross and what He continues to do for us today, it really feels inadequate to simply tell Him, thank you. Many of us ask God to do things for us. But do we ever turn it around and ask, what can we do for God? Actually, the Bible tells us what God hates and also tells us what He delights in. The strangest thing about that is that what pleases God will also make us the happiest and satisfied in our lives. We are fulfilled when we fulfill God's purpose for our lives. So you may ask, what is God's will? Well, His desires, His commands, and His plans are expressed throughout the Bible. In fact, the Bible was given to us to show His will. Studying the Bible, meditating on it, and praying about it are keys to gaining a deeper understanding of what His will and help us come to realize what we can do for God. Now, I know that all of us have been told since we were knee-high to a grasshopper, read the Bible. And there's lots of ways to read. You can read and pass on and not really hang on to what you read. But what we're asked to do is to read it, to think about it, even to question, and use what we discern to guide our lives as God's will. The Bible actually gives us a blueprint for some ways that we can show our thanks to God. First, we can give Him praise, like the songs we just sang. In Psalm 63, it tells us, because Your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise You. I will bless You while I live. I will lift up my hands in Your name. Another important point that we're told is we must keep our promises that we make to God. And again in Psalms, it tells us, I will keep my promises to the Lord in the presence of all His people. Now, what does that mean? Well, when each of us here today accepted Christ as our Savior, we made a promise that we would turn away from many of our, or from our previous sinful ways. Each of us pledged, each of us did, to follow His commands, just as Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." Unfortunately, many accept Christ and then move on to other things. They still come to church on Sunday morning and pray, but their mind is somewhere else. So it's very hard to keep a promise when your mind is somewhere else. My wife can tell me, "I need you to do this here at the house." And I tell her, like I'm promising, add it to the list. Truth of the matter is, it can go on a list, but I rarely look at that list, so it's a promise broken. So keep your promise to God. Another thing we can do to bring honor to God is to bring our offerings to the Lord. When we were children, it was hard to understand or get our minds around the idea that it's better to give than to receive. I know very few children who are willing to take their toy and give it to somebody else, but they're always willing. "I've got a new toy." But as we get older, we begin to discover that the joy of giving actually gives us pleasure in giving a gift. That's especially true with a husband or a wife, but really with children. When you give them something, their faces light up, unless it's medicine. But so it is better to give than to receive. And Jesus gave us another reason that it is important to give, and that's in Matthew. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and thieves break in and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." When we do get to heaven, everything that we've had here on earth will have no value to us anymore. We can't take it with us, but we can build up treasures in heaven. No matter how much we give to God, we can never come close to what He has done for us. And Jesus gave His all for us. And sometimes we give very little, and we give that begrudgingly. But remember that God and Jesus, in the future, He has an incredible gift waiting for His people who have followed Him. In Luke, it tells us, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." One of the most exciting descriptions of the utopian kingdom of God was recorded by King David. He wrote, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are the pleasures forevermore. I don't know about y'all, but I want some of that. In a place where we don't have pain anymore. In a place where there's no sadness. In a place where we sing praises to the Lord. I look forward to that. Another way that we can help repay God is to give of those gifts we were just talking about. Now, the Bible teaches that God gives each one of us some supernatural gifts. These gifts are given by the Spirit to empower us to do blessings and be blessings to others. So I ask you, do you know how God gifted you? Maybe He's given you the gift of encouragement so you'd be able to speak refreshingly and life-giving words to others. Or maybe it's the gift of teaching, and you're especially adept at simply opening the Bible, explaining what it means to people, and telling others how to live like it's true. The gifts are diverse, and they're given for the benefit of others, especially for the benefit of our brothers and sisters in Christ. If you are a Christian, God has given you some of those gifts. And it's up to you to find those gifts that He's given you and use them for His glory and others' good. We also can give of our talents. Different than gifts. He's also given you talents, areas in which you are naturally skilled. Perhaps it's music, or as a writer, or an artist, or a host, or a leader. Do you know why God has given you this kind of skill? Well, He's given you these talents so you can return them to Him, using them in His glory. No matter what you see or what you do, you can commit these to Him and look for creative ways to use them for the good of others and the glory of God. Now, another way that you can give back is with your time. Now, time is probably the rarest and most precious of commodities in our lives. Once we pass on, time for us will be no more. It will be eternal. Now, God gives you 168 hours each week, and He gives them to you in trust and ask you to use them wisely and to steward them faithfully. How often do you surrender your time to God? How often do any one of us do that? Do you commit time to Him? Do you plan your time as well as you can to ensure you're putting it to the best use? I like to begin my day with a prayer and asking Him to help me make each hour that He has given me count. Another way that we can give to God is giving of our energy. Unfortunately, as we get older, we don't seem to have as much energy as we used to have. And like a lot of other people in this world, we try vitamins. We try a lot of things. But there's no getting around that we don't have quite the energy we used to have. So when we talk about giving part of our energy to God, it depends on a lot of things. Are you a morning person? Are you a night owl? Or maybe you're an afternoon warrior. You may be like me and find that your mind is sharpest and most active first thing in the morning. Or maybe you're just one of those rare people who's your best long after the sun's gone down. Do you know where your energy peaks? Then you should plan your day so that whenever possible, you give your best time the highest purposes. Consider how you can use those best moments to accomplish your most important task. Plan to give God the best of your energy. Another thing that we can give Him is our enthusiasm. Now, God gives us gifts. He gives us talents. He gives us time. He gives us energy. He also gives us enthusiasm. He makes each of us feel passionately about certain issues or ideas. Where has God placed your enthusiasm? Where do your passions lie? Are they toward teaching and mentoring? Are they toward issues of charity or justice? Find ways to deliberately use your God-given enthusiasm to bless others and glorify God. Effectively steward your gifts. We've listed a few of them that we've been given. Our time, our talent, our energy. But we have to use all that, not to further ourselves, but use each of those things to further God's purpose and to build God up. Those are things that we can do for God instead of asking Him to always be helping us. I'm going to paraphrase something that a lot of you have heard in other circumstances. Ask not what God can do to please us. Rather, ask what we can do to please God. Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, we come before You wanting to do Your work here on this earth, knowing that You have fortified us with what we need to do Your work. Help us to discern the things that You have given us, and help us to choose to use those things in Your service. Be with us always. Help us as we go through this life. And at the appointed time, help us to hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter therein." We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message. And we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.